Paul's writing this letter from a jail cell in Rome, and he's writing to the Philippians. And it really blew my mind what he had to say concerning our subject. Let me first get to the scripture, and then we will talk about our subject. All right? Philippians chapter 4 is where I want to start. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You don't have a Bible, we can get one too. You need a Bible, sisters? Let's get a Bible for these sisters here. Just grab two from over there. Philippians chapter 4. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say wait a minute. All right, I'll wait for you. I want you to see it because it's just, it's interesting how the Lord does things. I really kind of wrestle with this, brothers and sisters, because I didn't want to talk about this right after the anniversary. You know, I want to kind of keep you fired up and excited. And the Lord said, no, there's some things we need to address, because as a body of believers, part of maturing is being able to take some things you normally don't want to take. Amen? Like medicine, you know it's going to help you, but many of us don't like to take it because of how it tastes or could be costly, whatever the case may be, but you need to take it because it's going to help you. All right, Philippians chapter 4, I hope I gave you enough time there. If not, just look to the table of contents in the front, and you'll find it. Philippians chapter 4, for those of you writing, I really need you to give careful attention to this, because I want you to really, this is going to help you, brothers and sisters, in every area, in all your relationships, all the people you deal with, even here at the church. All right, Philippians chapter 4, I want to start reading at verse number 2. I'm going to look at two verses tonight. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 2 and 3. I implore Iota and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, on the surface, you may not really get the gist of that. Okay, well, what does all that mean? And I will unpack it for you in the time we have allotted. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, it is all about you, has been, and will always be. We pray that you would keep our attention, that you'd help us be focused on your word, that we would listen attentively and apply the word so that we can live lives that would bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, and for the next several weeks, I want to focus your attention on members. The mind, money, the mouth. Next, we want to focus on members. That's us, the body of Christ. And if I had to give it a title, my title for tonight would be How to Handle Beef Between Believers. How to Handle Beef Between Believers. Now, some of you kind of wondering about beef. That's urban terminology. That's slang. It's used in hip-hop culture. It's used now. It's become mainstream. It's used everywhere. And we need to understand that beef is not just limited to the playground, to the basketball court, in the community, with politicians. But I've discovered that beef, according to the Bible, is even found in the church. There's beef in the streets, and there's beef in the sanctuary. So, first of all, you know, as we do here at the church, if we're going to talk about a topic, I need to define what that is. So let me first give you the street terminology of beef, all right? Before I tell you how we can look at it in terms of the church, let me give you a general understanding, the slang, if you will, of beef. And I really tried to get a slang dictionary, you know, to try to come up with something just, and the Lord uses our personalities the way he chooses to. So I'm going to give you which is a good street definition of beef, and I found it in the lyrics to a song. All right, amen? Okay, now if some of you know the song, don't sing it. Just let me give you a little bit of the words, and then we'll move on. What is beef? Well, the notorious B.I.G. said beef is when you need two gats to go to sleep. Beef is when your mama's not safe in the street. Beef is when ICU guaranteed to be in ICU. You got that? He said beef is when ICU guaranteed you're going to be in ICU, meaning he's going to do some damage. And that's from his perspective in the world and the society in which he lived and the streets and all that, where he operated. That is his definition. That is what he said it is. And be honest, many of us, if we didn't live that way, know people who live that way. Always got to keep a gun by them. Always got trouble with somebody. Many of us have still got the mindset to this day. Don't say nothing to give you away. But many of us not today can't sit with our back facing the door. Mm-mm. Can't do it because you don't want your back facing the door because you're wondering who's going to come in. Huh? You see how our mentality has been messed up? And many of us can't do that. But, you know, I sit with my back to the door, head to the door, whatever, because I'm God's child and I trust him to protect me. Now, if you still dibbling dabbling some stuff, then you should be concerned. But that should never be an area of concern for a believer who's walking and trusting in God. Amen? Now, let me give you my working definition of beef as it applies to this text. If you're ready, say amen. I'm going to give you time to write it. You ready? Now, you want to write this one. Don't write that B-I-G stuff. You already know that anyway. Here's our working definition of beef. And I promise you, if you utilize it, it'll help you in your everyday relationships. Beef, B-E-E-F, it's when two people have a problem with each other and they allow that problem to prevent them from progressing and practicing their faith maturely. And I'll give it to you again. Beef, as far as the church is concerned, and we'll see how this works, is when two people have a problem with each other and they allow that problem to prevent them from progressing and practicing their faith maturely. You got that? It's if you and I have a problem and our problem is so intense, we're not even going to act like Christians. It's going to cause us to act like people in the streets. People won't understand how are believers operating like that. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You got it? Okay. Beef, it's when two people have a problem with each other and they allow that problem to prevent them from progressing and practicing their faith maturely. It hinders your faith when you have beef with a brother or a sister and you can't move forward. Now, truth be told, because many of us like to hold on to ill feelings toward other people. How many of you say it before? And don't raise your hand in your mind. How many of you say it before? I don't care what happens. I ain't got no more to say to him. I ain't got no more to say to her. And as it's already bad to say, but it's even worse when you say it in the church. Because this is supposed to be the place where the believers gather, where we grow and mature together. Let me give you the context of what's going on, and we'll look at it. Because right here in this text, we have two sisters here who's got beef. They've got a problem with each other. And the problem is so big, get this, the problem is so big, so bad, that Paul has to call them out by name. Now, you know it's got to be a big problem if he doesn't say, in a letter, listen, make sure you straighten out that situation with them two sisters. That's too general. The issue has gotten so big that it's causing division in the church. So Paul, it's come to Paul's attention. Watch this. Just walk with me. It's come to Paul's attention who is in prison about these two women that have a problem. Now, that's got to be major because this man is in prison. And the church is informing him that they've got a problem in the church, with the church that he started with two women. Now, think about that. Could you imagine how serious that's got to be that you're going to write somebody in prison about the problem that these two women are having? The problem is causing division and strife because he names them. And then as we'll see in the next verse, how important they were to the ministry. And so they're allowing their feelings toward each other, you know, like we do. We try to get sides. You know, you try to get people on your side and on the other person's side because you feel that if I get enough people on my side, then chances are I can win the argument. You know, you figured if I got more people than her or she's got more people than me, then chances are they'll win. Now, let's look at this. Paul is writing this letter. He starts in chapter 1, and in chapter 1 he's giving us the model of ministry, tells us what our message should be in terms of ministry. Watch how he walks through this. He's writing a letter. Can you see him? He's in prison. He's concerned about the church, and he's writing a letter to the church to just show his concern. He's expressing to them how they ought to live as believers. He's telling them about the ministry. He's talking in chapter 2 about how they need to be a model of believers. He's talking in chapter 3 about that their motives should be pure. He talks in chapter 4 about how they should walk and live. And in chapter 4, when he begins to explain that, first thing we see, verse 2, he says, I implore. In other words, Paul, I'm begging. You follow me? That's how big it is. Paul is begging these two women to get along. He's begging them that they resolve their issue. Now, here's the thing we've got to understand. Let me show you a couple of things that I discovered about an issue. Issues are always or never is just between two people. Watch this. Tell me if you agree with this. Whenever there's beef or conflict, it's never just between two people. It's within two people. If I have a problem with you, it's something within me that has a problem with you. It's something within you that has a problem with me. It's not just between us. There are some things within us that we're dealing with that we're allowing to manifest outwardly. You know how some people are good at faking it. They can be burning up inside and never let it out. Now, let me tell you, if you're one of them people, you better learn to get that out quick. Because what's going to happen is you'll implode. You know, an implode is like when you see those buildings on TV and they blow them up from the inside. Instead of it going everywhere, it brings the building down. And if you keep holding those things inside, it will destroy you internally. That's why so many of us get sick, because we hold so much stuff inside, it starts to affect your body, your nervous system, and your pressure goes up. All those things as a result of you holding it in. Now watch what Paul tells him. He says, I'm begging you, verse 2, Iode, and I am begging you, Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, let me start by first giving you the steps you need to take if you're going to rectify conflict, beef, discord, whatever the problem is you have with another brother or sister in Christ. If you're going to do that, here's the first step you need to take if you're writing. Here's the first step you need to take if you're having beef at home, beef with a family member, beef with a coworker, beef in the church, wherever it is. Here's the first thing you need to do if the beef is going to be resolved. All right? You ready? Here's the first thing you got to do. You've got to evaluate the cause of the beef. Ask yourself, now, why am I mad at this person? Why am I not speaking to him or her? Why are we not getting along? What is it about that person that's causing me to act the way I act? See, because right here on the text, it doesn't readily seem like we really know. It doesn't really give us detail. But I guarantee you, every problem you have with another person is stemming from a problem you have in yourself. See, because something that irritates you is a problem you created to solve, but we don't solve it. We just dismiss it or try to get away from it. All right? For people, here's an example. If you like a clean house and you're around people that don't keep a house clean, you're going to be irritated in their presence, because that's a thing that bothers you. And the problem is, when stuff bothers us, if we don't confront the person, we'll just distance ourselves from them. And guess what? You could be the only person that could help them solve that. All right? And so we got these two women, and the first step they've got to do is evaluate the cause of the conflict. We need to understand this. Every conflict we've ever been in or will be in comes from, watch this, I guarantee this. Check this through your own Rolodex, your mental Rolodex. Think about everybody you had a problem with. You ready? Get it in your mind. Now, don't get so upset that you, just get it in your mind. Everybody you've had a problem with, I guarantee you, everybody you've ever had a problem with, it comes from both of y'all wanting to have your own way. That's the reason the problem is created. Think about it. Every problem you ever had with somebody else is because you and that person wanted to have their own way. And since we both can't have our own way, then we're going to have a conflict. Huh? Parent with the child. You tell the child to clean the room. Child don't want to clean the room. We've got a conflict. He wants to do. She wants to do what she wants to do. You want done what you want done. There's a conflict. And conflicts always rise, brothers and sisters, from deep within. And you know what I've learned as I'm getting older? Some conflict just ain't worth it. It just ain't worth your time. And we making mountains out of molehills. Some stuff you ought not even give your attention to. Because when you give attention to it, it'll upset you more than it does the other person. You ever been upset about a way somebody was acting? Somebody, let's say you were in a relationship with a family member, and you were upset by how they were acting, and you told them about it. Watch this. And it didn't bother them one bit. And after you told them, you more upset now that you told them. Because they don't take any action. They just simply think, hey, I'll do it when I do it, or it'll get better when it get better. Paul says, listen, sisters, I'm begging you, don't get along like this. You've got to be of the same mind. You all are believers. That's why division in the church is worse than division in the street. Division in the sanctuary is worse than division in the street. Because here it is, truth be told, you expect that in the streets. You don't expect people to kind of, you know, be loving and kind. But in the church, and here's the truth, that's why some people won't come. It's too, how many times you've heard somebody say, that's too messy in there. I don't want to go there. Too messy there. People there too messy. And you go to another church and find there's more mess. The bigger the church, the bigger the mess. Watch this. The bigger the church, it's easier to hide the mess. That's why the division was so bad, and we don't know the size of this church, but it was so bad that it came to Paul's attention, and Paul had to address it. He had to address it. And so if we're going to address our situations, whether it's a brother or sister in the church we had a problem with or a family member, think about what caused this. What caused this? Let me tell you how it's a need for each one of us to have our way. You find two people in argument. I guarantee this is going to happen. You find two people in argument, and let's say you ask one of them, you say, why are you beefing with her? And I promise you they'll say this, because she did this or that. And you ask the other person, and they'll say, because you did. See, nobody wants to accept responsibility. The reason I got a problem is because they have a problem with me. No, it starts from you. Ask yourself, the people I'm angry with, is it worth my time and effort to let it affect my everyday living? Some people don't even want to go where other people are because they have beef with them. Huh? Come on, you know how I go. Is she going to be there? Oh, no, well, I'm not going. Why do you got it? You allowing somebody else to take away your energy, your desire to have a good time because they're there. You give that person too much energy. You need to evaluate the cause of that. What's causing this? There's three words that's often said at my house whenever there's a conflict. Every time. Walk in the house, and I think the kids just know I'm going to say something if I don't see something in place. Soon as I walk in the door, Sister Terry, you know the first thing I'm going to hear? I walk in the door, I'm going to say, listen, and I'll start calling names. And here's the three words out here. I didn't, well, four words, do it. Or the three words, it wasn't me. I just walk in the door. Sister Dixon, I just walk in the door, and I'll say, who and who's ever in my presence when I start to say who it is, they say, it wasn't me. Let me just tell you, it wasn't me. Because nobody wants to take ownership. Now, if I'm in a house full of folk, and I ask everybody in the house, who did this, and everybody said it wasn't me, then I've come to the conclusion we got ghosts in my house. We've got ghosts because somebody did it. And the problem is we don't want to take ownership because one is how it's going to make us look. You ever worried about that? You ever thought about that? You are so concerned about how it makes you look that you're willing to let somebody else get in trouble at your expense. And that's what happened. You've got these two sisters and they got this problem. And Paul says, listen, let me evaluate the cause. And we find it right there in verse number one. Verse number two, he begs. He said, I implore Iode and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, he said, listen, here's the problem. You all are thinking differently. You are believers. You need to have the same mind in the Lord. And it doesn't tell us their position, but as I searched it and researched it, it says that they probably were deaconess at the time. And so they both held positions. And so they could have disagreed on anything. And I find it in church, brothers and sisters, you find more disagreements in church than anywhere else. If I was to poll the room right now and ask you all individually, what color you think the chairs should be? Everybody going to say something different. And somebody will probably just say, oh, it's fine like that. Because some of us don't want to be honest, and we'll just go along so we can get along. And for the sake of peace and quiet, we'll just let stuff go. But guess what? You hurt yourself with that. Say how you feel, but just be careful the way you say it. You follow me? You've got to evaluate. So whoever you are here tonight, and you have a conflict with somebody, ask yourself, What's the root of it? What's causing me to feel this way? What did I do them? See, because we like to point the finger, but you had a part in it. There's something you did. It takes two to tangle. That's why I've often said, when somebody arguing with me, let them talk. Let them get it all out. Because you hear there's something behind the argument. And you don't do this and you don't do that. Now, if they're spending all their time focusing on what you don't do, then something's saying it could be because of what you're doing. It could be the way you talk to me. It could be your approach to me. You've got to evaluate what's causing this. Even in relationships, there's people that ride together, work together, live together. And the only words they say to each other is, don't say nothing to me. Isn't that awful? There's people live together and they say, listen, don't. And I don't know for the life of me how you can live in the same house and not speak for days at a time. Not if you know Christian. Now, if you don't know the Lord, then, I mean, you know, you operating on your own strength. But when you become a child of God, something's got to eat away at you and say, wait, wait, wait. I don't care what they're doing. Check yourself. Check yourself, because watch this. When God starts blessing, he's going to bless the one that's walking in obedience. And people, even in your family, will see you walking in obedience, and they'll wonder, well, how is she doing this and he doing that? And we got all this turmoil, we got all this bills and all this chaos, and they're at peace because they've resolved in their mind, I'm going to do what pleases the Lord. So the first thing you got to do is what? Come on, talk to me. Evaluate the cause of the conflict. What is it that's going on? What is it that's causing this? Paul says, okay, I'm looking at this thing, and I see it's two people. And watch this. He calls out the two people by name. Now, let me ask you a question. Why does he do that? As the young people say, why does he put them on blast? Why do you think Paul, in a letter, because he wrote a letter so somebody has to read it, why do you think he puts them on blast? Because when the letter was read, it was read before everybody. It wasn't no get a little small group and read the letter to them. He read it to everybody. Why do you think Paul puts them on blast, for lack of a better word? Why does Paul call their names out? Why he couldn't just say, there's two sisters in here tonight that's got a problem. And I want to say to them two sisters, work it out. Why do you think he does that? Anybody? Let me see who's thinking. Why do you think he works that? He says that. Okay, I saw your hand. Because he's talking to them specifically. Okay, so why he didn't write, because these are things I ask myself, so I'm asking you all. Why he didn't write a letter to Yodi and one to Sintachi? Why he just didn't write them an individual letter? Okay, she says he wants to write it so the whole church knows it's directed to them. Church? Huh? So they can be accountable. And all the good answers, but I'm thinking, because I kept beating the text up saying, okay, but Paul, that's kind of close. Why are you exposing them? Why are you exposing them like that? You want to hold them, you want the whole church to know. How do we not know that's going to start more mess? Because watch this, let's be honest. If I got up here Sunday and said, Sister Sheila and Brother Melvin, cut it out. Chances are, a couple of people in here are going to say, what happened with Sheila and Melvin? And depending on who you ask, you'll determine whose side they're on, either Sheila or Melvin's side. So now, why does he not concern himself with that being a bigger problem? Because now, Paul, you're creating a bigger problem from what we see. So help me with that. Why doesn't he just, you know, kind of reduce that? Because that can be a bigger problem. Anybody? We just talking. Come on, it's Bible study. Actually, we get the questions out. Anybody? Huh? I asked why he didn't write a personal letter. And then I say, why is Paul not concerned about other people getting involved and saying, because now you're creating a bigger mess. Other people want to know. You see what I'm saying? If Paul does not say their names, then guess what? It could be anybody. And then everybody's safe, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to be exposed, especially if you knew it was you. You don't want nobody else to know. So why does he run the risk and get everybody else interested in that? Why does he even, Sister Tara, why does he even create that? Okay. Okay, urgency. Okay. Anybody else? Urgency. Accountability. Yeah, I'll say that's good. Accountability. Anybody else? Well, remember the first thing I said? Because these women held some position or something. They were a prominence in the church and watched it. If I expose them and their leadership, I'm letting everybody else know. If I'm going to get on them, okay, let me help you. I used to work at my brother's church. And one day we had a conflict. And so we going back and forth. I said, you know what? I ain't going to worry about it because this is bigger than brothers, right? Because I'm like, he's younger than me, and he's more biblically astute than me. He's been doing it for 17 years. So we get into an argument, and then I say to him, you know what? I ain't going to worry about it. So we get into a general session, and he says, yeah, and I want everybody to know, if I fire Johnny, I'll fire anybody else in here. So I'm like, what? And then guess what he told me? Because I need them to know that I ain't showing no favoritism, that this is God's work. This ain't about friendship. This ain't about, and I think that's where the body of Christ mess up. Because we take what's out in the street and think we can bring it in the church. This ain't no buddy system. This is about God's work. And if he doesn't bring correction to it, the whole church can split, and now there's no church in Philippi. You follow me? So I've got to expose that. And I'm telling you all that because we've got to be concerned enough about the church to not, let somebody bring some mess to us. Because the last time I checked, Brother Philip, you only put trash in a trash can. And not only am I concerned about the trash you put in the can, I'm also concerned about who carrying that trash. Huh? Because the person carrying the trash got a longer time with it. And Paul says he's begging them. He's begging them, one, because he cares about them. And you can't resolve no conflict unless you care about the people in it. See, Paul can say, oh, man, I don't care about them. Let them do whatever. But Paul is concerned. He says, sister, stop it. I need you to be of the same mind. So the first thing we've got to do is evaluate the cause of the conflict. Here's the second one. And this is where we mess up. Okay, we see there's a conflict. The second thing you need to do, if there's beef between you and somebody else, or if you're the witness, somebody brings it to you that there's two people with beef, then the second thing you need to do is enroll the right mediator. You've got to enroll the right mediator. Because, see, Paul can't go there. He's in prison. Paul can't go there and say, now, listen, guards, let me out of jail. Let me just go to this church and get some. He can't go. So Paul's got to be thinking and listening to the Holy Spirit to tell him, you can't go, so you need to send somebody to handle this matter. Now watch who Paul sends based on the text. Verse number 2 says, and I urge you also, true companion. Whoever Paul sends is nameless, but we do know this about them. They're a true companion. They're somebody that he can trust, a companion, somebody he spent time with, somebody he knows is going to look at the right thing. He knows this is somebody who's not going to belittle them. He's not going to dog them out. He's not going to hurt them. He's going to help them. He says, true companion. Let me ask you this. Who can you trust to tell you the truth even when you're wrong? Who can you trust to tell you the truth? Yes, ma'am. God, right. But I'm saying, who do you have in your life physically that you can say, listen, I'm having a problem with so-and-so. I need you to talk to them. Everybody needs somebody. And if you don't have anybody that you can trust, then guess what? Something wrong with you. That means you're not trustworthy. You ain't got nobody. Oh, watch this. Oh, everybody's been telling you they're loving you, been lying to you. You don't have nobody who loves you enough to tell you the truth. My mama would often say, and I hate it when she do this. She would say, come here, baby, let mama talk to you. Listen, mama gonna tell you the truth. It may hurt you, but I love you, and I got to tell you the truth. And she'll say, you wrong. And we lost that. See, people more concerned about your feelings that they allow you to make yourself out a fool. No, and I really believe this. We say we want to hear the truth, but many of us don't want to hear the truth. Can I put it to the test? You ask somebody, girl, how I look. You want to know the truth? Or you want them to lie? Chances are you want them to lie, especially if you think you're looking good. Huh? You done spent the money on the outfit, and you say, how you think I look? I say, I'd rather not comment. Now you about to, there's a problem. What you mean you don't want to comment? What you think? For what? Don't ask me. My dad has it bad. He want to know everything. He asks everybody. I said, Doc, I'm sorry for you, because I... Some people you ought to know just not to ask stuff. Y'all know anybody like that? You got anybody in your life? I know not to ask them nothing. I know not to ask them. Because some people are negative about everything. Then you got to flip the script. You got some people so extreme, they're going to lie to you about everything. Girl, you look, girl, don't worry about that. Oh, girl, I look nice. You working that, work that, work that, girl. Wear that, I know. And under their breath, you look a hot mess. Child, where you going? But they're going to lie because watch this. They're more concerned about being your friend on the fake side, because the true friend gonna tell you the truth. Yeah. Now this is how you know you got a true friend. You can fall out and still be friends. Now you may distance yourself for a couple of days, but a true friend, we ain't gonna just cut it off. We don't ever talk no more. And you ask them, and you know they'll let enough time go by, and guess what? Not even remember why they was arguing. But pride will cause you not to say, well, you know what? Pride's gonna let you think, she don't talk to me, I ain't talking to her. If you in the sanctuary and that's you, you are immature as a believer. You immature if you're not going to say nothing because they don't say nothing. Somebody got to take the high road. You know why we don't? Because we still got that world mentality. Because every time I do that, they're going to take advantage of me. And God said, don't be no fool. Where that's at in the Bible? God said, don't be no fool. And baby, I ain't going to be no fool for nobody. I don't play. They must not know who I am. Apparently, God don't know who you are either. You've got to evaluate the cause and then enroll the right mediator. There's some people will want to know what happened only so they can spread what happened. Be careful, everybody who runs to the table where there's some trouble. Girl, what happened? Now, you in another room. And you see one person walk out and the other one with their hands folded, and you come running in. Girl, what happened? And they begin to tell you. Come on, now don't nobody sit down. You're going to give yourself away. Watch how deep you go. Really? Watch this. Oh, I know I'm about to get somebody better. Really? Watch this. Girl, you lying. You lying. You lying. If she lying, then leave it alone. But you're saying you lying is really to get more information. Girl, you lying. He did what? Oh, girl, I don't believe it. Now, you first said I'm lying. Then when I tell you, you don't believe it, but you don't leave. You come back. I can't believe he would do something like that. Now, see, I don't like, see, I don't, girl, that's why I don't be around messy people. Right there. I don't be around mess, and I don't start mess. But you're right there listening, because you know what they're doing? I'm telling you. You ain't got to believe me. I'm telling you. You know what they're doing? Getting enough ammunition. Watch it. And they may not tell nobody else, but they're going to tell you again. Watch when something else happens. And some of y'all have did it or had it done to you. Let something else happen. Let you and that person become friends again. Girl, you mean to tell me you talking back to Sheila? Now, you know that's, you forgot? Did you forget? See, because I don't forget nothing. But yet, that's your friend. You got to have the right. The right mediator, somebody says, now listen. Tell me, right mediator wants to hear both sides. Notice in the text, Paul is writing to both of the women. He ain't picking sides. He says, both of y'all, stop it. The Bible doesn't tell us detail what happened, but Paul says, both of y'all wrong. And if you're going to ever be better in relationships and stop some of this beef that's going on, especially in the church, you've got to be willing to take the high road. You know what? Watch this. Here's a mature believer. Hey, sister, how you doing? Oh, boy, that gets me right there. You ever had somebody do you that? Hey, girl, how you think I'm doing? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Listen, whatever I did to you, I don't know what it is. I want you to know that I'm sorry. And you got to mean it, because you just throw words out there, and then that person accepts you back in, and you're looking for ammunition. I'm sorry. Watch this. And then you bring God in it, because God is not pleased with me harboring ill feelings toward you. I'm asking that you forgive me. And here's where we mess up. We wait for them to say something. I said, I'm asking you to forgive me. You didn't hear what I said? I said, do you forgive me? Now you're about to fight over forgiveness. Say what you got to say and let that go. See, we ought to be trying to grow to become mature Christians. You can't grow and be mature if you're still holding on to low petty issues. He says you got to evaluate the cause of the conflict. Number two, enroll what? The right mediator. Who's the right person? And be careful. Don't pick somebody that you know like you. Pick somebody that's going to be honest. It's always good to get somebody impartial. And I'm saying that because I've counseled a lot of people. Matter of fact, I went to a house. I was thinking about this the other day. I went to somebody's house. And the woman invited me to her house. Y'all, get this. Pray for me. Pray for me. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, keep pastor in prayer. I go to the sister's house. And I get to the sister's house because she wanted to talk to me about her issue with her husband. So I'm going, okay, I'm going to go to your house and talk to you and your husband about whatever the issue is, right? I get to the house, her and her husband sitting there, and you know she dogging him out to me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm checking for keys in case I got to run up out of here. Because he ain't saying nothing. And she, and he'll, and tell him, pastor, and tell, she's saying, tell him, pastor, like I already had a conversation with her. Oh, and I'm looking at this brother. I'm like, oh, Lord. After she get through, listen what he said. He tell me this. Say, bro, you can go. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Guess what I did? Hallelujah. Wasn't no closing prayer. Wasn't no handshake. Wasn't no see you later. I'm out. Because wisdom says that's your way of escape. See, and some of us, this is where we mess up. Some of us talk too much. Some of us can't counsel nobody. Because you got to let the person say it. And sometimes feel comfortable to know you don't always have the answer. If people got to talk to you, you ain't got to have the answer all the time. Girl, I'm going through, and I'm trying to figure out how to do it, and I just want you to tell me what you think. And you say, you know what? Let's pray about this, and we'll talk another time. Because, see, right there, if you're not thinking, your emotions start working, especially if they, watch this, oh, boy, especially if they're talking about somebody you don't like anyway. Huh? Girl, what you think about Leroy? Because Leroy was, and then you're thinking, yeah, he is low down. I can't stand him. This is what you ought to do, because you speak from emotions and you need to speak as the Spirit leads you. Sometimes you got to zip it. Paul said, look, they got beef, bring some correction to this. Address both of these sisters and do it publicly, because I need the church to know this is serious business. They're in position in the church. We can't have this in the church, because if it starts in the church, it's going to go to the streets. And when it's in the streets, it's going to be ugly. That's why other people, quite honestly, and you know some of them, won't ever go to church. You know some people right now, either in your family or a friend of yours, that say, oh, no, I don't go to church. Too much mess in the church, all right? Well, what church you going to go to where there won't be no mess? And if you don't know about it, don't mean it's not there. It could be because it's big, or it could be that they're just covering, you know, because some of us come to church. Hey, how you doing? Blessed in the Lord. And you don't care about nobody. You just want, and I had somebody say that. I just want to get my word and go. Don't want to speak to nobody. Don't want to say, and listen, how are you going to be spiritual and hate people you see and love God who you can't see? I don't understand it. He says, evaluate the cause of the conflict. What I said number two was? Number three, you've got to encourage the two people to see the greater good. Encourage them to see the greater good. Watch, right here in the text. He says, verse 3, and I urge you also, true companion, that's the right mediator, help these women. See what he says? Help, not hurt, not hinder. Help these women. Watch this. Who labored with me in the gospel. He's looking out. He said, listen, encourage them to stop this beef because they worked with me in sharing the gospel. How ineffective does the gospel become when you and another person, that's like us going street witnessing. Watch this. And we're about to share Christ with somebody and you and I are arguing. No, you're not going to do it. No, you're not going to do it. You're not gonna, I knocked on the door last time. No, I ain't knocking on this. You're going to try to use me. You always want me to knock on the door. Wait! And then the person come to the door and like, hello, hello. And you continue, oh, you forget the person there. You go your way. We're laughing, but that happens because we're too petty, brothers and sisters. We're too petty. We've got to understand, what is my purpose? That's to glorify God. So ask yourself, how am I glorifying God arguing with this person? And then, quite honestly, you can resolve a lot of stuff when you consider who you're talking to. Wait a minute, wait. You ever had that happen? Honestly, you ever had that happen? You was getting ready to argue with somebody, or you started arguing, you say, what? Oh, why am I wasting my time arguing with you? For what? Watch this. Not that you all that, but some stuff you ought to be above now. As you mature, some stuff ought not bother you. I had an episode a while back, and then we'll be done. A while back where I was, I don't know if my wife remember, we were in the house and I was fuming, and I was telling her, I told the kids to do something, and they did it, and they, no, it's something about the trash. I said, put out the trash or something, and I don't know which one it was, so they can stop thinking I'm talking about one of them. I don't know which one of my boys it was, but I said, put out that trash, and they do this. And I'm steaming. Because when I say do it, I want to see it done. Here's the problem with that. Can I show you the problem? When I say put out the trash, that's general. Watch me now. Because if you put it out when I say it or later that evening, you're still putting it out. You follow me? So then I have to check myself and start being specific in the information I give out. Put the trash out now. And it could be that you got beef with people, problems with people, because you didn't make it clear what you wanted from them. And now you're mad at them. Wait, you didn't say, we got to break up. Because I told you I like to go to the movies. And I heard you when you said that. You didn't say when you want to go. You didn't say you want me to take you. You said, you know what, I like the movies. And then you're mad at him. Hint. Hint. Well, how am I supposed to figure that out if you say you like to go to the movies? I didn't ask you what you like to do. We're just talking. And you say, you know, I like to go to the movies. I'm like, oh, okay. How's the problem? Communication is the key. When you're not clear in what you communicate, you can't afford to watch this go off on the other person. That makes you look bad. And boy, I tell you, whether you're an adult or a teenager, you really don't like somebody telling you, well, you didn't say that. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. You didn't say all that. Huh? I don't like hearing that. But when it's true, it's true. And so you've got to be whatever you want. Watch this. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find help in your time of need. Boldly. And a lot of times we don't get what we want because we even afraid to approach God about it the right way. God, I need some money. Watch this. Honest prayer. I've been bad with it. I've misused it. I've abused it. I've taken it for granted. I've spent it on people I shouldn't have, but I need some money. Now, that's bold. That's honest. Does that mean you're going to get it? No, but that means, and you know what? I don't know about you all, but when you pray more, that gets it off you. Anybody ever prayed and you were honest with God? I mean completely honest. And you're like, you know what? I feel better. You ain't got it yet, but I feel better because it ain't on me. And we've got to do that. We've got to learn to do that. If you're going to settle the beef, then ask yourself, because everybody here knows somebody who ain't talking to somebody else. It could be you. So when you go home tonight, whoever it is you have a problem with, first thing you ask yourself, what caused this? Then you know what? Look at your part in it. What part did I play in this? Should I have responded like I did? Was I angry when I said it? That's why you can't just go off. When somebody talking to you, listen first. Sometimes you can't respond right away. You know what? Let me get back to you on that. And then you got some ignorant people. No, you're going to tell me. Okay, you really want me to tell you now? You want me to tell you now? Here it is. And then you upset. Think before you speak. Come on, say it with me. Think before you speak. All right. And when you do that, you save yourself a lot of trouble because some stuff you don't have to speak about. Evaluate. Then the second one is what? Enroll the right mediator. Now listen, when you enroll the right mediator, don't go to that person on the other and say, now listen, I want you to come to the house. You follow me? And when you come to the house, Leroy going to be sitting on the couch. Now, he's sitting there and he got his beer. He always drinking. Oh, Lord, he always drinking. But when you come in there, I want you to make sure you tell him about that. All right? I'm going to sit over there and I ain't going to say nothing. Watch this. Hey, you know you can't control it because the minute they come in, Leroy, I heard, watch this. This you. And you sitting there, you wait in your mind saying, get him. And you come in and say, Leroy, I heard. And she telling him. She getting on Leroy. You're like, yeah, because you, oh, come on, you know somebody. Could you excited about them getting on him. Now you're going to jump in and you expose your hand. And then Leroy said, oh, y'all tag teaming on me? That's how it's going to be? Huh? And watch what Leroy do. Forget both of y'all. And now your person who you call for the media had gone to their house. Everything cool. Oh, Jesus, at their house. But now you and Leroy got beef. You can't get Leroy to do nothing. Cut no grass, clean the tub, do nothing. And watch what Leroy going to tell you. Ask Leroy to do something. You know what he going to say? Ask your friend. Call your girl. She was here. Ooh, and here's the danger. What if the person you call to be the mediator is a so-called Christian? You know what you just did? You Melvin ain't going. Now, you say, Melvin ain't going. Huh. Babe, I know we have problems. I need you to come. Who? See, because people who ain't walking with the Lord, they're going to bring it back in your face. You know what they're going to say, huh? Who? You want me to go where? Not after you talk to me. You must be out your mind. I don't know who you think I'm. You ain't going to be talking to me like that. I'm sorry. Sorry ain't going to change it. It's done. You call your girl. Let your girl come back. Well, Leroy, what you doing? I'm getting my stuff. You get your stuff because I'm going somewhere where people love me. Leroy, don't go. Leroy, I'm sorry. Leroy, don't go. Watch this. Look at Leroy. Mama, open up. Mama, open up. Oh, thank God for the word. Anybody learned anything tonight? I pray you did. It is my objective to get you to learn some stuff. And as we get more into this thing about beef and membership and problems, it is my prayer that you learn how to better deal with your family members and your church members. Because guess what? We all family. Watch this. Because we're all connected by the blood. Your family member, your brothers, your sisters, your brother and sister because of blood. In church, they're your brother and sister because of the blood of Jesus. And so you've got to look at it like that. I always ask yourself, how would I want Jesus to see me right now? And I think if you looked at Jesus being right next to you, that'll change the way you handle it. Amen? All right. Any questions? Any questions about this matter of beef? Any questions? No? Everybody's clear on that. All right. So evaluate your situation. See what you've caused, what you started. How much stuff could have been stopped if you'd have just kept your mouth closed? And don't do like a friend of mine. You know, they say, you say something to them, say, I'm going to just keep my mouth closed. I ain't going to say nothing because I don't want to. That's too much information right there. Just keep it closed. Don't say why you keep it closed. Just keep it closed because you really want them to ask you some more. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless